Would turn with me to Romans, the book of Romans. Sorry, I should have emptied my Bible before I came to church today. Romans chapter 6, please. We're now coming to a new section of Romans. In chapter 1 through 4, Paul explains salvation in Jesus Christ and the justification that he offers in salvation. Then in chapter 5, Paul told us about the new standing every believer has in Christ. But that's just the beginning, of the gospel. Now Paul is moving on to the second and lifelong stage of salvation, that of the sanctification of the believer. The theme of chapter 6 through 8 is the believer's new life in Christ, or we could say it is the Christian's holy living in Christ. This section, 6 through 8, is very practical. It gets down to earth about proper day-to-day behavior. The unspoken question Paul is answering in this text passage is this. This is the unspoken question. Since salvation is by grace alone without works, since it is, and since grace has abounded far and above man's sin debt, and it has, both of which Paul has taught us in previous chapters, therefore, can a believer continue in sin and be fine? Is that okay? Can a believer continue in sin? Since those other things are true, since it's grace, salvation is by grace alone without works, and since grace has abounded far and above man's sin debt, wouldn't more sin then just mean that grace causes grace to be just that much more amazing? If we keep on sinning, there's just more grace to cover over it. That's the question Paul is answering here today. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6, please, verse 1. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you, Lord Jesus, have freed us from sin. Thank you so much for that. And Lord, we pray that we would live according to these truths today, that we would strive for holiness, live according to the way God wants us to live. So, Father, I pray that each and every one of us would understand this passage today. Help me, Lord, to be able to share it clearly. Give me the words to say, Father, hide me behind the cross. Let Jesus Christ be glorified today. If there's one here today that does not know Jesus, maybe listening online, would you please help them to realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Help them to turn to Jesus today. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. So the title of the message is, Christ has freed us from sin. Christ has freed us from sin. First point this morning. The Christian should live free from sin because salvation in Christ made us dead to sin. The Christian should live free from sin because salvation in Christ made us dead to sin. Go back to verses 1 through 3. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Were baptized into his death. But he starts out, he answers the question right off the bat with a great firm statement. God forbid. God forbid. We should live free from sin because, first of all, Christian, God forbids it. God forbids that we sin. This expression, God forbid, is an expression of emphatic, the strongest denial. It means absolutely not. Absolutely not. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God thinks absolutely not. That's what God thinks. You see. And oh, how Satan has deceived Christians today. How Satan has deceived Christians. Christians who want to live holy lives are called by other Christians legalists. So often. It's sad. And of course, the world, surely the world calls Christians legalists. Oh, you're a legalist because you don't do this. You don't smoke. You're a legalist because you don't wear pants. You're a legalist because you don't do drugs. You're this, that, or the other thing. But this, that, or the other thing is always some type of sin or compromise. It always seems to be that way. Some kind of sin, compromise, or sinful behavior. We're not trying to be legalists because we want to live a holy life. The truth is simply, we're trying our dead level best not to sin because God commanded us not to. That's it. We're saved. We love the Lord. We didn't do anything for our salvation. But because we are saved and because we love the Lord back in return for the love he gave us, I want to please Jesus. That's it. That there's no other reason why I do what I do. There's no other reason why I allow what I allow and don't allow what I don't allow in my family. I just want to be pleasing to Jesus Christ, my Savior. Not sinning is not legalism. Okay, that's what the world wants us to think. You're a legalist because you say no to sin. No, not sinning is not legalism. Not sinning is simply being obedient to Jesus Christ. That's what not sinning is. Simply being obedient to Jesus Christ. Did you know that the term legalist was coined by a rock star? The term legalist was coined by a rock star to condemn people who are trying to be obedient to Jesus Christ. But biblical legalism is not trying to live a holy life before God. Biblical legalism is doing exactly what the Pharisees did. That's what real legalism is. The Pharisees were guilty of two things. They added works to salvation. When you do that, you're a legalist. You're adding the law to salvation. Legal law. You're adding the law to salvation. But the Pharisees were also guilty of something else. They raised tradition above God's word. Tradition above God's word. When you raise your standards above God's word, now you're guilty of being a legalist. Okay. Take the Bible for what it says and obey it. Do not add thereto. Okay. When you add thereto, you are guilty of being a Pharisee. You put your standard above God's word. You cannot wear shoes with laces. Did you know that?
It's sinful to wear shoes with laces. Don't ever come to church with shoes with laces on. They have to be slip-on shoes like this. If you don't wear what I'm wearing, you are a sinner. That's legalism,
you see. It's adding something to God's word, going beyond God's word. Okay? Do not be guilty of that. Take the Bible for what it says and obey it the way it says it. Okay? Legalism is adding works to salvation or making man's tradition greater than what God says, more important than what God says. That's legalism. That rock star didn't have a clue to what he was saying. He didn't have a clue what he was saying when he said Bible believers are legalists. Living a holy life is legalism. He didn't know what he was saying. What he was doing is he was trying to justify his sinful life. He was trying to justify his sinful life by condemning others for not sinning. You see, that's all that was. But a Christian should live free from sin because salvation in Christ made us literally dead toward sin. God forbids it. Number one, we should live free from sin because God forbids it. Be ye holy, for I am holy, he said. Okay? So be free from sin to the best of your ability. Get sin out of your life. Obey the Bible. Obey the Bible. But we should live free from sin because we are literally, if you are born again, you are dead to sin. Dead toward sin. When I came to Christ in repentance for salvation, when you did that, our old life ended. Our old life ended judicially in the eyes of God. Judicially, I died. You died when you got saved. Judicially, we died by way of our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Our old man died with Christ on the cross. You see, my old life is finished. Kaput. Done. My old man, that life, it's done. Now I am a new man, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're going to look at that verse in a few minutes. But I'm created in Christ Jesus a new man. A new life began when Jesus redeemed me. A new life began when Jesus saved you, you see. You are judicially dead. Your old man is dead. Your old life is dead. My new life, your new life, if you're born again, is described by God as having fruit when I live in obedience toward Jesus Christ. My new life in Christ is described by God as having fruit when I live in obedience to my new master, my new head, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this new life, we have been made dead to or toward sin. Death describes inability, doesn't it? It insinuates, it implies inability. Something is dead. It's unable to do a thing. It doesn't breathe anymore. It doesn't move anymore. It cannot get itself toward sin. It doesn't do anything. It is unable of every action anymore. It's dead. That is how we are to be towards sin. It's how our brain should be. It's just dead to sin. It's unable to go there any longer. That's what Jesus wants from us. Is we are unable to go towards sin. Life, on the other hand, describes the opposite of that. It describes ability. You have life. You have new life in Christ. You have ability in Jesus Christ. When we were born again, we were made able to bear fruit unto Jesus. But at the same time, we are also made able to be inanimate toward sin. We were made able to bear fruit unto Jesus Christ when we were born again. But also, we are also made able to be inanimate, dead toward sin. Before we were saved, that it was certainly not that way. We were not unable to say no, to go there. Sin was our master before we were saved. It was almost like we had no choice. Temptation came, that's where I'm going. You see. Now, Jesus Christ gave us the power, the ability to be inanimate toward that. Nope, I'm not going there. Just not going there. You see. I can say no. God has given me the power to say no to sin. I have a new master. Sin is no longer my master. The Lord Jesus Christ is my master. I don't have to go over there. I can say no now, you see. We are supposed to be dead to sin. Jesus Christ caused our old life to die. Judicially, it's dead. Okay? So the Christian should live free from sin because salvation in Christ made us dead to sin. Salvation in Christ forbids sin. And it made us dead to sin. Secondly, verses 4 and 5. The Christian should live free from sin because we are to walk in the new resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're looking at our main points are based on the verbs this morning. We should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When we got saved, Jesus Christ judicially killed our old man. Our old man then, spiritually, was buried with Christ. Our old man was buried with Christ. This means he was dead, our old man was dead, and our old man was then put away, buried. Judicially, he was killed, he was then buried with Christ. He was dead and put away. Even, we could say he was hidden away. Our old man was hidden away with Christ in the grave. Our old man was inanimate now. Unable to do any action at all, and then hidden away from everything. The idea being, our old man is hidden away even from temptation and sin. And we are to keep our old man buried with Christ. We're to keep him buried with Christ. But go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's what happened to our old man when we got saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us what happened to the rest of us. To the other side of us, or the new us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, dead, passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're saved, you're a new creature. You have been created anew, in other words, a new creature. You aren't the same creature you were before you were saved. You are a new one, brand new. Our new man was created spanking new when we got saved, when Jesus Christ redeemed us. That means we were created anew, brand new, to do the actions that God would have us do. We are created in Christ Jesus, you see. Created in Christ Jesus. Created to do what Jesus would do, you see. That was why he did that. And we are to behave, therefore, in the way Christ would behave. Good works is now natural. Good works are now natural. To our old man, good works was not natural. The natural thing was to be wicked, to be mean, to be sinful. That was natural in our old flesh. But our old flesh has passed away. God has now put a new nature within us. For that new nature, good works is natural. That's our natural new man. That's the natural way we are to behave if we're walking in the Spirit. If we are actually letting that new man obey Jesus Christ. So the Christian should live free from sin because we are to walk in the new resurrection life of Christ. Behave the way Jesus behaved. Created in Christ Jesus. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We're now a child of God. God is our Father. Before we were saved, God was basically our God, our judge. That's the only relationship we had to God. He's God, our Creator, and our judge. That's it. Now, he's your Father. Abba, Father. That means, in Greek, that would be the endearing term, the closest term, Papa. You would call Daddy, Papa. So it's the endearing version of Father. Abba, Father. Daddy, Papa. Whatever your endearment term is to your dad. That's who God the Father is now to us. Dear Father, Abba, Father. Therefore, if he's our Father, shouldn't we act like a child of God? Certainly we should. Certainly we should. Our new man was created in Christ Jesus to behave like Jesus Christ. Thirdly, go back to Romans chapter 6, please. The Christian should live free from sin because salvation in Christ made us dead to sin. The Christian should live free from sin because we are to walk in the new resurrection life of Christ. And thirdly, the Christian should live free from sin because the Christian was specifically created to serve God, not sin. Verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Christ has freed us from sin. We were not created to serve sin any longer. The old man, it was a slave to sin. Sin was the old man's master. But when Jesus redeemed us, he created all things new. Sin is no longer our master. We're not created to serve that any longer. We're to serve God now. Serve God. Created, all things are created new. And notice verse 7 again, please. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Notice it does not say free from sin. I am not free from sin yet. Are you? None of us are free from sin yet. The Bible says he has freed us from sin. Okay? When we got saved, we are freed from sin. And the day we got saved, we also received the promise that one day we would be fully free of sin, or free from sin, when we get to heaven. But until we get to heaven, we are not free of sin. We are freed from sin. What's it mean? It means sin is still around. Sin is still bothering us. We are freed from its shackles, freed from its chains, but we are not free from it. It still bothers me. It still bugs me. It still tries to drag me under. You see. We don't have to. The chains are broken. Freed from. We don't have to obey sin any longer like we did before. Before we were saved, we had virtually no choice. Sin was our master. It said, do this. We did it. We were its servant. But now Christ has freed us from sin's servitude, from sin's slavery. We can now say no to sin. Now, Christian, now when we sin, it is very similar to Adam sinning in the garden. Ever think of that? Well, I wouldn't have done what Adam did. The sin that you committed while you were a Christian proves you would have. You see, because You have been freed of sin. Adam was not a slave to sin when he first made that choice to sin. He chose to sin freely then. When we sin now as born-again Christians, we are choosing freely to sin. We are doing the same exact thing that Adam did in the garden. Wait a minute, Adam didn't have the sin nature. No, he didn't. We still have the sin nature. But Adam also didn't have the Holy Spirit of God living in him. That kind of cancels that one out, don't you think? And so we're pretty much doing exactly the same thing Adam did. So we can't say, well, I wouldn't have done that, Adam. You bad boy. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. So do you. So we're doing the same thing Adam did in the garden when he first sinned. He chose to sin freely then. We are choosing to sin freely now as Christians. But we don't have to. We are freed from sin. Freed from sin. Look at verses 16 through 18. This is next week's passage. But we are freed from sin. It's not our master. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Free from sin in the sense that it's still there, still around. Free from sin, but not free totally. Not free totally. Free from sin, but we still have to fight it. We're going to be totally free one day in heaven. We're freed. So the Christian should live free from sin because I'm free of it. Made free by Jesus Christ. But fourthly, the Christian should live free from sin because we were created alive unto God. And we were made alive to live with Christ. Look at verses 8 through 11. Now, if we be dead with Christ, if we were crucified with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. If I'm crucified with Christ, then whatever happened to Christ after he was crucified spiritually happens to me too, is the idea. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And the same is true of us. Death hath no more dominion over us spiritually, spiritual death. Okay, everything that happened to Christ spiritually happens to us because we are dead with Christ. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. What happens to Christ happens to me in Christ. He lives unto God, therefore I live unto God. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're alive unto God now. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means you know God. Whereas you did not know God beforehand. There was no relationship between you and God before. God was a far off judge to you, creator judge. But now, he's very close. He's a close friend. You know God. Before we were saved, we understood very little about the character of God. Now, as a born again Christian, we are beginning to understand more and more and more of the character of God. We know God, we can know God. We couldn't know him before. There was a sin barrier between me and he. But he has taken that sin barrier and washed it away. Now I can have a relationship with him. I can begin to understand him. I can live with him. I am alive unto God. I can understand. Before I couldn't understand this. But now I can understand that he wants me to live a holy and sanctified life. He is holy. He wants me to be the same way. as much as I can be on this in this sinful body. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But it also means we are alive unto God. It also means we are living with Christ now. Christ goes home with you. You live with Christ. He never leaves you anymore. You are living with Jesus Christ. You're living with God. You are alive unto God. You see, this Holy Spirit of God indwells us now forever. Until of course, we reach heaven. And I don't know how that works after that. But as long as we're on this earth, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. We understand then that whatever I do, I am doing in front of my Savior. He's inside of me, right? When I walk down the Wicked magazine aisle in the stores, I am dragging my Savior down that Wicked aisle too. When I stand there in front of the booze refrigerator in the store and stand there looking at it, contemplating, well, I could buy some of this gross stuff. I don't know why. Tastes disgusting. But maybe the devil is tempting me right then to get drunk. He's right there watching me, isn't he? He's also saying, don't do that. Don't do that. You have no business being in this aisle. Get out of here. Get away from here. Flee. Flee. But whatever I do, I'm doing in front of my Savior now. Not that I wasn't doing it in front of God before, by the way. But He's indwelling me. He is right there. Right there. Wherever I go, I am being accompanied by Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Lord. Whatever I do, Jesus Christ sees it. Whatever I think, Jesus Christ knows I thought that. Whatever my motive is, Jesus Christ knows my motive. You see, before I was saved, I didn't realize all of this. God was just some far-off entity before. But now I know God, and I'm learning of God, and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I understand now He sees everything. And so that should cause each one of us, me, you, cause each one of us to be very careful of what we're doing, what we're thinking, where we are going. Very careful of our actions. But it also means alive unto God. Thirdly, it also means I am practicing for eternity. You are practicing for eternity. You are learning how God wants you to behave before Him. Holiness. Holiness. It's not something that is not biblical. It is certainly biblical. God wants us to live holy lives. I'm learning how to live in the presence of Christ Jesus now. If I'm learning how, then doesn't that mean I should also be improving? Yes, I should. I should be improving. I should be getting a little bit more, and I don't want to sound cheap or silly, but a little bit holier every day, moving towards God. I ought to be improving. Imagine how ashamed we would be if we lived our life and we lived born again for years. I got saved when I was 6 years old. And I lived all my life from 6 years old on. It's born again life. I'm living alive unto God. But for all my life, and I die when I'm 85 years old or 86 years old. So I lived born again for 80 years. I was born again. And I get to heaven, and the Lord God shows me that you didn't learn a single thing of how to act around me, Derek. You're still living exactly like you were living when I first saved you. Wouldn't that be embarrassing and shameful? You see, we're practicing for eternity here. We are learning how to behave for eternity. It also goes for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You're going to live with me for all of eternity, brother. But come on, let's put up our dukes and fight. No. We need to learn how to live together, right? We're practicing for eternity here. We are alive unto God now. I certainly should be improving. I'd be embarrassed, terribly embarrassed before God if I had not improved by the time I got to heaven. The Christian should live free from sin because we are created alive unto God to live with Christ forever. Lastly, this morning, the Christian should live free from sin because we were created to obey God now, not to obey sin any longer. Verses 12 through 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The Christian should live free from sin because we are created to obey God. Recreated anew, a new person, designed specifically to be able to say no to sin and yes to our Heavenly Father, you see. That's the freedom Christ gives us. The ability to allow obedience to God and the ability to disallow obedience to sin. It says, verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. The word let means allow. We now have a choice, an allow choice. Before it was sin commanded. Now sin begs. Please do this. I will make you feel good. It'll be fun. It'll be what you will enjoy. It begs now. And we can allow it or not allow it, you see. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. His freedom, the Lord Jesus' power, gives us the ability to not yield to sin. Yield not to temptation. But if we are listening to our old man, we are yielding to sin. Which Pastor Bond's favorite illustration? The black dog and the white dog. White dog is the new man, black dog is the old man. Which dog wins the fight? The one you're feeding the most, right? The one you're feeding the most. Or are we feeding the old man? Then we're probably living in some sin. Are we feeding the new man? Then we're probably getting the vast majority of victory over sin, you see. The last verse says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Dominion is authority. Sin does not have authority over you unless you allow it to. Unless you allow it to, Christian. You can say no. No, 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 all your life. No, I'm not going there. Or you can say, yeah, I'll try it this time. Let's see what it's like. Ah, now it has authority over me. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. I've now become the servant of that sin again because I allowed it. I said, yeah, I'll try it. I'll let that in my life. You can say no. Sin has no authority until you yield. No authority until you say, okay. Don't yield the first time. We're as free from the power of sin as Adam was in the garden. Free from the power of sin as much as Adam was in the garden. He could have said, no, Eve, I'm not doing that. That's silly. I'm going to mess up my relationship to God. Why would I do that? Same truth is true of us. Why would we do that? We will mess up our relationship to our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father. Why would I go there? I don't want to do that. No, Eve, I'm not doing that. He didn't have the old man, which we do, but he also didn't have the Holy Spirit, which says, thou shalt not. I said, thou shalt not. I also said, resist the devil. Resist the devil, Derek. Flee the temptation, Derek. You see, we have the power to say no to sin and obey the Lord Jesus Christ now. Just as Adam was created with the sole purpose, he was created to obey and serve God. Your new man is exactly very similar to that. Exactly like that. Your new man was created perfectly able to serve God. Perfectly able. There's no catch to it until you yield to the old man. You see. Your new man is perfectly able to serve and obey Jesus Christ every day of your life. Created exactly for that purpose. But sanctification. God wants us to be sanctified. Sanctification of the salvation of Jesus Christ is to recognize that you have a new master. That old black dog is not my master anymore. I don't have to say yes to sin. I want to live sanctified. I want to live holy. I want to live the way Jesus Christ wants me to live. He's my master now. Holiness is simply to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, your new master. It's not legalism. It's simply, I want to please Jesus Christ. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Christ has freed us from sin. Are you staying free? Are you staying free? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the freedom we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you took the binding shackles to sin away. What grace you bestowed upon us. Thank you so much for your goodness and your love. Father, help us to walk worthy of that high calling to which we are called. Help us, Lord, to live a holy and separated life. Give us the ability to say no to sin in our lives. Father, forgive me where I failed you in many areas. And Lord, help me to be stronger and be able to say no to the temptation next time. Lord, help each one of us to draw closer to Christ and be a better mirror of Christ each and every day. Thank you for your word. Bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's turn to Have Thine Own.